This episode of the Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Does civil disobedience really get you excited? Go to freestateproject.org, get signed up, move to New Hampshire, get involved with the next wave of liberty activism, and be the next Rosa Parks. The Free State Project is your best chance for liberty in your lifetime. freestateproject.org.
This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Well, it's great to have as our guest today Dr. Lawrence Vance. Dr. Vance is head of the Francis Wayland Institute. He writes, of course, frequently for lourockwell.com. Take a look at his magnificent archive. Also, he has a wonderful new book out, second edition of his book, called Christianity and War. You can get it from Mises.org. Also, at the bottom of all his articles, you'll see a reference to that book, and you can click on it. 418 pages of truth and justice. Unfortunately, not the American way. But... Dr. Vance, tell us about Christianity and War. I mean, doesn't it seem like, especially in the Bush years, that many official Christian spokesmen were not only not pro-peace, I mean, they were just like bloodthirsty advocates of mass murder?
Well, that's unfortunately the case. And one would think that Christianity and war would be two things that are totally opposed to each other. But you're exactly right. In the Bush years, conservatives and evangelicals were cheerleaders for war, and body counts didn't matter, like General Tommy Franks said, and they were cheerleaders for bloodshed and bombing and killing, and it just didn't seem to matter how many people were killed in Iraq or Afghanistan. They thought that we were defending our freedoms, and we had to do something about the non-problem of Iraq.
Lawrence, it seems like these people who otherwise are talking about how much attention that they pay to Holy Scripture in this area don't. I mean, what's their justification for that? I mean, how given what clearly it says in the Bible, can they be advocating these policies?
Well, what most of them are doing is they're going into the Old Testament and they're looking where the nation of Israel was used by God to war against heathen people as punishment for sin or for whatever reason. And on that basis, they're trying to justify the actions of the U.S. military. And of course, there's no connection whatsoever. The U.S. president is not God. The U.S. military is not the Lord's army, the nation of Israel. And God never commanded any Christian to kill anybody for any reason.
But also, aren't we required to look at what the New Testament has to say about these issues?
Exactly. The New Testament teaches nonviolence and being peaceful with all men and not hating people and not having wrath in your heart against people. So it's totally contrary to the whole tenor of the New Testament that Christians of all people should be peaceful people and nonviolent and non-aggressive.
You know, your Francis Wayman Institute has brought back into print some very important works from the past of tremendous relevance to today about Christianity and war. Would you tell us about some of those books?
Yes. I've reprinted some articles that I found that were in theological journals back before the Civil War, where ministers would actually write denouncing war and saying it was contrary to the Christian religion for Christians to be involved in any kind of a non-defensive war. And you never hear about this today other than from liberal Christians, the Sojourners type, the peacenik crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And conservative Christians are making a bad mistake by pointing to liberal Christians and saying, well, they believe in peace and nonviolence, and since they're wrong theologically, well, we're just going to reject everything that they say. And my response is, a broken clock is right twice a day. Just because a Christian who maybe deviates from the faith in some areas and is not a strong conservative Christian, just because he speaks about peace and nonviolence doesn't mean that it's wrong. So I've tried to bring back into print many of these articles and books and portions of books by Christian thinkers who denounced Christian participation in war, because you don't see much of this today from Orthodox conservative Christians.
You brought back also into print a wonderful scholarly work about Christians and war in the pre-Constantine era, I mean, in the first three centuries of Christianity.
Right. That was John Cadieux, the early Christian attitude to war. And he showed that the early Christians did not serve in the Roman army, and they did not believe in violence and bloodshed, and they refused to participate in war.
And they refused to be drafted, too.
They refused to be drafted in the Caesar's army. But yet today, Christians, they don't need to wait to be drafted. Many of them voluntarily join the military. There's even recruiting and ROTC that goes on at supposedly Christian colleges.
And I'm told that there's a very strong, maybe we say, quote-unquote, evangelical presence of something like the U.S. Air Force Academy.
Yes, I've heard about that as well, where they're actually very intolerant toward people that are non-evangelicals.
And, of course, the key doctrine of the, according to these people, of the evangelical outlook would be war, bombing, of course, of the Air Force, the dropping atom bombs on people.
Exactly. They've totally accepted the foreign policy of the U.S. government, which is an evil foreign policy, and they've accepted the current role of the military, which has absolutely nothing to do with defending the country. We defend the borders of other countries more than we defend the borders of this country, and Christians have swallowed this. You can't criticize the military in any way. You can't criticize U.S. foreign policy. Then you're labeled as anti-American, or you're a communist, or you're a Quaker. I think it'd be great to be called a Quaker.
Yeah, I was going to say that doesn't sound like an insult to me.
Exactly. Jefferson's foreign policy was called a Quaker foreign policy: peace and non-intervention and non-aggression. So I gladly will take the term if that's what people want to refer to me as.
Well, you know, I remember so many of the evangelicals, although I must say you don't hear this under Obama, claiming that Romans 13 meant you had to do whatever Bush told you to do, or otherwise you were in disobedience to God.
Well, it's funny how after we no longer have a Republican president, we don't hear that anymore. They don't say that we should just obey whatever Obama says, but yet that's all you heard during the Bush years. But then if you applied that to other countries, you'd have a problem, because shouldn't German soldiers have obeyed Hitler? And what they really mean is only American soldiers should obey the American government. They're so arrogant, and they hold to this idea of American exceptionalism, that America's the great exception. And these soldiers in other countries, they shouldn't fight against us if their government tells them, but yet we should follow our government because our government is moral and virtuous in some way.
Well, when you read the Pilgrims, I mean, you read some of the early Puritans, it seems like they are actually saying that this new America is the new Zion, that they're the new chosen people, and in this case, that the Indians or the Amalekites or whatever, they can all be murdered without distinction, men, women, and children, just like in the Old Testament.
Exactly. That's what's so interesting about certain aspects of American history, where people left Europe and came over here, and then they set up an oppressive religious regime, and that's why people were banished from New England, like Roger Williams and Anne Hutchinson, banished because they wouldn't follow the Puritan official church-state line.
And of course, as Murray Rothbard points out in his great work Conceived in Liberty, four-volume work on the American colonial history and the development of the idea of liberty, these, of course, were two great early libertarians.
Exactly.
Who were tossed out because, of course, as you say, they wouldn't go along. But this seems like a constant thread throughout American history. I mean, even though the Puritan regime is gone, and I guess they've jettisoned God entirely, but they still seem to have retained the rest of that ideology that America is blessed by, maybe they wouldn't say God, but blessed by heaven or the universe or something, to be the ruler of the earth, and that to stand against the U.S. government is always evil, that all you can't defend yourself. If the U.S. government decides to attack your country, it's evil to defend yourself, and that the U.S. can and should rule everything. And if you disagree with that, you know, that
it's almost like
you're
going against God himself.
Yeah.
If you disagree with the actions of the U.S. military and the U.S. government.
And certainly governments throughout history have always sought to compete with God and sometimes be God. If we think of the pharaohs or other regimes of that sort. But it's always seemed to me the U.S. has a lot of similarities to those regimes. I mean, the U.S. government is seen by so many people as having actually a divine character.
Well, what's funny is you hear conservatives now criticizing Obama because so many people think Obama is a messiah-like figure. But I can remember when Bush first got elected, and then we had the Republican majority in Congress, some of the things that were said about President Bush were basically the same, that he was like a messiah figure, and the Republicans finally have control of the government, and we finally have a righteous government with these Republicans in charge. And of course, the era of the Republican Revolution just turned out to be an absolute disaster as far as the Constitution and liberty were concerned.
Well, Dr. Lawrence Venture, great to have you on today. I want to urge everybody to buy his book, Christianity and War. It's $20 from Mises.org. Or again, you can buy it at any of his LRC articles. Take a look at his magnificent archive on lewrockwell.com. Dr. Vance, thanks for what you stand for and for the witness that you give and the example that you set. And great to have you writing for the site, and great to have you here today on this podcast.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by lewrockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.